Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much. For staying with us today, my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget, folks, when you're a member of my newsletter community, you have access to some special deals that only members of my newsletter subscribers have access to. Some affinity programs that I've arranged for that I can make available to my newsletter subscribers. So I hope you'll check that out, and I'll be talking to you about that a little bit later on. Philip Van Munching is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Philip Van Munching is part of the family that brought Heineken and Amstel beers to the United States, and he worked in that business for a long time, and then a few years ago decided he wanted to retire from that business and start writing, and that's exactly what he's done. We've got him here today for a few minutes to talk to us a little bit about both of those issues, about the business that he was in and the business that he is in. Philip Van Munching, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Now, you wrote a book called Beer Blast?
Beer Blast.
That was the first one.
That was the first one. That's about all the crazy marketing that's going on in the U.S. beer business.
What do you think about all that?
I think it's highly entertaining. You know, it's amazing because the beer industry was really a bunch of family-owned businesses that sold beer until Philip Morris got into it. And sometime in the 60s and 70s, all of a sudden, the beer business became about selling other stuff, other categories, you know, beer to people who don't really drink beer.
Right. Why did they do that? I mean, obviously, everybody wants to sell more stuff.
Well, I think Anheuser-Busch had been so dominant for so long that the folks from the large marketing company that took over Miller Brewing said, well, wait a minute, if we can't play on this ball field, if we can't win here, let's just build our own ball field. And they came up with light beer from Miller.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it was about selling something other than beer, and they created a category so they could dominate it. And, of course, then everybody jumped into that one, and so somebody needed a new category, and eventually we had ice beer and dry beer.
Oh, yeah. And now when you go to a supermarket or to a convenience store, there's a 150-foot wall of different kinds of those things.
Right. I'm waiting for the Diet Cherry Vanilla Miller. You know, I mean, that's got
exactly.
Second now.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I remember years ago I worked a little bit on Madison Avenue, and I'd walk into an agency, and it would, you know, that agency had the dark Miller Lite for women beer.
Right.
Now, they didn't have the Miller Lite beer, but they had the dark Miller Lite from. And I'm obviously, folks, I'm being facetious, but the point is I remember it amazing me that they'd have a different agency for every little flavor.
Well, in some cases, the different agency thing didn't bother me. It's the different brands that bother me.
Right.
Because you end up just cannibalizing yourself all the time. I mean, I've had a laugh lately. I've been out of the beer business and away from Heineken for a decade, and the guys who run it now could not be worse at what they do, which, of course, is why Heineken is now number two after 60 years of being number one. But they've just announced Heineken Light. Now imagine a brand like Heineken coming out with a light beer. They also import Amstel Light, which my father invented in 1980. What two brands do you think Heineken Light will draw consumers away from?
Mm-hmm.
Heineken and Amstel Light.
Right.
You guys are geniuses. You killed both your flagships
right.
In one throw.
Well, you know, I remember talking to a friend of mine in Ireland when has Guinness been sold to Heineken? Did that happen? There was something about that. Do you remember anything about
that? I have no idea.
Well, the Irish were all up in arms because they weren't going to take 3 minutes to pull a pint anymore. They were only going to take 1 minute to pull a pint.
Right.
And so they almost had an insurrection over that.
Well, this is very important to certain people.
a properly pulled pint takes 3 minutes, I think, or something like
exactly.
That. Let me say this. One of the things that I'm noticing more and more, and I have been for some time, is how much marketers want to manipulate people instead of serving them. What do you think about that?
Well, that's exactly the thing. They'll give you the fever, and then they'll sell you the cure.
Yeah.
The whole point of modern marketing is to make you think you want something you really don't. Or you may want, but they want to build a fever in you until you need it so badly. And, you know, the other thing that's going on in marketing now is they also want to have their own jobs as the next Steven Spielberg, so they're all trying to out-entertain each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guys making the ads and putting their own reels together to send to Hollywood are not so concerned with actually building up a loyal consumer base as they are with being the top-rated commercial on the Super Bowl.
Right.
So marketing's really gotten crazy in about 18 different directions.
Well, the thing that I think that I talk to small business owners about, and I get folks like you on the show to talk about, is the importance of not trying to manipulate customers, but to serve them, to find out what they want, and to give them what they want. And now that may be a naive approach in the world of big business, but I actually don't think so. I actually think that it doesn't have to be.
No, you're exactly right, and that's how you build a long-term business. Now, again, let's go back to Amstel Light. In the late 70s, when light beer from Miller was all the rage and other people were jumping on the bandwagon, I don't remember the brewery, but they ran a commercial where they had two old guys saying, you know, this is how we make beer, and this is how we would make light beer, and they pour a pitcher of water into their beer, and they hold up the results. I guess it was one guy, and he says, this is why we don't make light beer. So the point is, the product wasn't thought of very well.
Right.
Well, we didn't want to ruin Heineken's image by just rushing out with another light beer and calling it Heineken Light. So my father came up with, look, Amstel beer isn't available here, but Heineken also brews it. So let's have Amstel Light. It'll be a standalone.
Mm-hmm.
People won't even really have to say light when they order it. And he did that because he knew people wanted an imported higher quality light beer. He knew it was going to take some time to build it,
mm-hmm.
and he was willing to take that time and make that effort. Guys today want the biggest amount of bucks as quickly as possible. And, you know, the difference between small businesses and big businesses to me is the folks in small businesses stay for years mm-hmm. and have some patience. The guys in big business, they may be working for Philips Electronics yesterday and Coca-Cola tomorrow, and they're in your industry today. So they need results today so they can get a bigger paycheck tomorrow at the next place. So they don't really care about your long-term growth. They care about the big shot. And with small businesses, as you know, small business owners know, you can't afford to do that. You can't throw away tomorrow so that you can make a couple of bucks today. That's like, you know, pricing. Why would you slash your price to sell a lot today and become a price brand tomorrow?
Philip, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, we're visiting with Philip Van Munching. He's our new friend. He's the author of Beer Blast and also another book. And I'm going to tell you about in a little bit after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. Back is 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Philip Van Munching is our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Philip, and the last name is Van Munching. It's two words, V-A-N, and then Munching, like you would think it would be spelled. Philip, by the way, folks, Philip is the author of the 8-year-old book, Beer Blast, but his new book is called Boys Will Put You on a Pedestal So They Can Look Up at Your Skirt, A Dad's Advice for Daughters, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. That's his new book, but before we go there, Philip, I have one question for you.
Sure.
I have this theory, and that is that one of the things that's wrong with the marketplace is on Wall Street, and that is that so many companies are so devoted to tickling the waddle of analysts, of industry analysts, that's who they're more interested in favoring rather than their customers. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, now, you know, you're wrong from this standpoint. You said one of the things that's wrong is Wall Street. That's about 18 of the things that's
I'm
wrong.
I'm sorry. I should have been more clear.
Absolutely. Can we do the rap song together?
Yeah.
Enron? And, you know, I mean, all these guys are so fixated on pushing their share price up artificially. And, you know, it's pretty true of any large company these days. They're so all about putting together that annual report. I just finished James Stewart's book about Disney Wars, which is a great book. And there's such an emphasis on that towards the second half of his book that it really was about shareholder meetings and cleaning up the record, as it were. And these guys have really taken their eyes off of their core businesses, and they've just started kind of playing to a certain audience. That,
can it
that
be
most
redeemed?
Of us aren't
can this be turned around? I mean, why couldn't somebody? Why couldn't one company stand up and say, you know what? We're not going to take any more analyst calls. We don't know those guys anymore. And I'm probably being facetious, being over the top here.
No,
No. We're not going to take the calls. We don't know who they are. We don't want to know who they are. We want our price to do well. And shareholders, understand this. Maybe for a year or two, our share won't do as well. But we're going to turn our attention to the customer, and we believe that in the long term, that will be the best thing to happen to our company. Why couldn't one brave person in one of the 15,000 public companies stand up and do that?
Well, see, I think that's exactly what's happening. What we don't see is those people are under the radar from this standpoint. As you say, there are 15,000 public companies. Open up the New York Times or any other paper, and you see this incredible array of companies. We only hear about a few hundred of them.
Right.
There are a lot of guys in a lot of these companies who are doing just as you say, but they're never going to get press for that.
I want you to introduce me to some of those people. I want you to tell me who some of those people are, because I want to interview them. But I want to move over to this other book. Now, you've got a brand new book out called Boys Will Put You on a Pedestal So They Can Lick Up Your Skirt. Tell us about that.
Well, this is something that I wrote for my daughters, I mean, quite literally. A few years ago, I was crossing the street. I forgot the very first rule we teach our kids, which is
look both ways
on the green. And a bus almost put me onto Fifth Avenue. And when I got my heart rate back under a trillion beats per minute, I realized, you know, the only thing that I would regret if I died young and stupidly is that I wouldn't get to tell my girls all the things that I meant to about faith and fate and sex and grief and boyfriends and all that good stuff. And I started making notes, and after a while I was sharing those notes with some friends who said, you know, can we have that too? Because I think parents in general could use this. And
right.
Fortunately, Simon & Schuster agreed.
Well, congratulations. Is there a website for the book?
I have a website. It's philipvanmunching.com, Philip with one L, Van Munching, just the way it sounds.
And they can find
an excerpt from the book.
About the book. And
yeah.
In the books, I'm sure it's available wherever books are sold.
Exactly.
What is the... If you could stand there after that bus missed you, I'm assuming it missed you, somewhat anyway. After that experience, if I said to you, okay, you can only tell your daughters one thing, what would that be?
Make mistakes. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. You know, we live in the perfection culture, and you know, obviously this applies to small businesses as well. We live in a culture that tells us if we screw one thing up, it's over for us. We're failures. Everybody will look at us and laugh. And that's ridiculous. That's how you learn in life. I have a daughter who, you know, if halfway through her homework, she can't figure out the concept behind something, she just puts the pencil down. She just starts saying, can't. And I'm like, no, keep trying. Fail as much as you want. Get every one of them wrong. But make the effort, because eventually you'll get it, and then you will have earned it.
Thomas Edison said failure is successfully identifying what doesn't work.
Exactly right.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So now you didn't get hit by the bus, and you have time for two things to tell your daughters. What would the second thing be?
If you bring them home and they don't respect you, I will kill them with my bare hands.
Right, and hang their heads on a spit in the front yard.
I have a daughter too.
Right.
There are a million things I would tell them. I really would start with make great mistakes and make sure you're always respected. And that goes for your romantic relationships and everything else. Make sure people are treating you respectfully or walk away.
Right. Well, and how do you – where did you get these perspectives? I mean, you're a guy.
Well,
I'm a dad and a
human being. And, you know, what I learned as I was working on this as a book idea was that the first few publishers said, gee, you know, we like your writing, but you're not a doctor. You don't have a degree. No one has given you the papal blessing that you can actually go out and dispense advice. And I thought, how ridiculous. Parents have been doing this without 500-page books from PhDs forever. And, you know, the great psychic revenge is that it is now on the New York Times bestseller list.
Right.
And I've had a couple of those other publishers going, you know, we didn't know.
Congratulations. Living well is the best revenge, isn't it?
Exactly right. Thank you.
Philip, thank you for being here. Give us your website again, please.
It's philipvanmunching.com.
Will you come back? We've got a lot of things to talk about.
I'd be happy to. Thanks so much for having me.
Philip Van Munching, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Boys Will Put You on a Pedestal So They Can Look Up Your Dress. Check it out when you get a chance. Quick break, 29 after, right back with Ray Keating. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.